all the things you should know about the first 17 theaters of his life. So I'll simply read you chapter 37, and we will put it together as we're able. See if your attention span can last while I read you chapter 37 of Genesis. And Jacob dwelt in the land of his father's sojourning, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. If you're familiar with the word "tolados," you'll find it starts in Genesis 2:4, and it occurs throughout the book of Genesis, and it means these are the offspring, the developments of certain things and certain persons. And so here is the last one, the one of Jacob. These are the generations of Jacob. Jacob, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And he was a lad with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Jacob brought the evil report of them unto their father. Now, if you were here this morning, you would know how many sons he was with and who they were. Because I told you who were the sons of Bilhah and who were the sons of Zilpah. All right, verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And I told them how old Jacob was when Joseph was born. But you don't know how old he was. I may tell you a little later. The son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren. And they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, there were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves came round about, and made obeisance to my sheep." They bowed down to his sheep. And his brethren said unto him, "Shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream. And he told his three brethren and said, "Behold, I dreamed yet a dream. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him. But his father kept the saying in mind. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Are not thy brethren feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said to his father, "Here am I." And he said to him, "Go now, see whether it is well with thy brethren and well with the flock, and bring them word of that." So he sent him out of the veil of heaven, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I am seeking my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they are feeding the sheep." And the man said, "They have departed hence, for I heard them say, 'Let us go unto Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brethren, and found them in Dothan. And they saw him afar off. And before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into one of the pits. And we will say, 'An evil beast hath devoured him.' And we shall see what will become of his dreams." And Reuben heard it, and delivered him out of their hand, and said, "Let us not take his life." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood. Cast him into this pit that was in the wilderness, that lay no hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hand to restore him to his father. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat, the coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said to his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brethren and consume his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our flesh. And his brethren hearkened unto him. And there passed by Midianites, these are probably a breakdown of these people, the Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, where shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a male goat and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this hath we found. Know now, therefore, whether it is thy son's coat or not. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn in pieces. And Jacob rent his garments and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, so he said, I will go down to Sheol to my son mourning. And his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, the captain of the guard. Let us speak God again in prayer. Now, Father, let us know that there are so many voices in the world, so many that are trying to get our ear, our attention, for selfish reasons. We're thankful, our God, that you're trying to get our ear. Has not your son said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, if any man hear my voice? We're thankful that through the word of God, you're seeking to reach the ears of men, and they that have ears, let them hear. So, our God, for those that have not Christ as Savior, we pray that you shall speak in their ear the way of salvation, and for those that are Christ, we shall speak to them as well, and bring before them your ideals, our God, and drive by our minds the cheap, sinful, vainglorious ideals that the world has set before us, and alas, our God, that we have embraced as our ideals. So bless us this morning. We pray that thy Spirit shall empower and prepare hearts, and we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Very remarkable, the similarity between the things that happened in the life of Joseph and the things that happened in the life of Christ. And if you've studied the Bible and you know anything about typology, it will be significant to you. In the New Testament, there are times when the Spirit of God says, use this man as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll give you an example. The Lord Jesus speaks of the wisdom of Solomon. The queen of the south came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And it says, a greater than Solomon is here. And it speaks of Jonah. Jonah preached. And he said, a greater than Jonah is here. And so what God does is to take someone like King King Solomon and Jonah the prophet, and you look at their lives, and in that life you see some fact of the life of Christ. What is so remarkable about Joseph and his life is that it is the nearest of all the Old Testament characters in its fullness to that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And since it is, tell me one instance where Joseph is used as a type in the New Testament. Not one. Isn't that remarkable? One that is obscure. Who would have ever thought that Jonah was a type of Christ? And yet the Lord Jesus said, Jonah, the preacher of Jonah, are greater than Jonah is here. He compares himself with Jonah. The only thing that could possibly be thought of as used as a type is when Stephen is giving a discourse in Acts chapter 7, and he mentions things about Joseph, but more of that later. But it is so evident that Joseph and his life is like that of Christ that just think for a moment. This is what brought it to my mind. We read of the birth of Christ, and then we read of nothing more of Christ until he's 12 years of age. Goes down into Egypt, then he goes to Nazareth, and you hear nothing more about him until he's 12 years of age. We read about the birth of Joseph, and then you read no more about him until chapter 37, when he's 17 years of age. And then you remember that Joseph came to his brethren, and his brethren hated him and cast him into a pit. And the Lord Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not. And do you remember how I sold you the soul for 30 pieces of silver? And Joseph is sold for 20 pieces of silver? And you go through the life of Joseph, and there are so many similarities. And yet, in the New Testament, God doesn't tell us one of them. Perhaps it is so evident that God says, I'm not going to tell you. You just read it and it will come to your mind. So Joseph is the loveliest product of Israel that can be placed before the eyes of men. If you tell me about Abraham, yes, he's the father of the faithful. But I can tell you that Abraham was a liar. And I can tell you that Abraham was quite prepared to put his wife's honor in jeopardy to save his own skin. And I can tell you that Isaac did the same thing. He had to lie. And also, because he loved a certain kind of meat, he was tricked into taking the blessing from Esau and giving it to his son Jacob. And Joseph, tell you some of his faults. Why, there are so many, you can read almost any chapter in the Old Testament. But tell me one fault, one sin that God ever registers. Now, I'm not speaking about that, about the hands, but tell me one sin that ever God records about the man Joseph in the Old Testament. None. Absolutely none. And it says concerning our Savior, who did no sin, neither was any guile in his mouth. Isn't that a remarkable thing? And so that is why, and it breaks my heart, I've been in homes, Christian homes, and they had to just stay in a guest room, and the young people in that home have posters up there of vainglorious, godless idols of theirs that play a certain kind of music. And it breaks my heart. Those are their idols. I could wish that someone would read the life of Joseph and have spread in his room, Joseph, as he resisted the temptation of Potiphar's wife. Joseph, in his devotion to his father. Joseph, in his morality. Why can we not saturate our souls and fill them with ideals like unto Joseph, rather than the vainglorious, unworthy idols that we set before our eyes today? In fact, I would doubt that you were to know anything that is good in man today, because the ones that we like so much are tainted by sin and corruption that you and I have to overlook all of their faults, because perhaps they can sing, or perhaps they can act, or perhaps they can make us laugh, you see. and we forget all the other things. But you look at Joseph, and you see everything that's beautiful and good about him, and you have to overlook nothing in his life. You have to make no apologies to Joseph. And so he is the fairest flower that Israel ever produced. And so read concerning his life, read it over and over and over again. Because if you read his life, and if you pattern your life after his morality, you will not be having abortions. You will not be having children out of wedlock. You will not be telling lies. You will not be having adulterous unions with the wives of other men. All of these things concerning Joseph. You see that he was a man of integrity. He was a man of morality. And what is so good is this. You understand that it miraculously was imparted to him. I told them the last hour the environment in which he was brought up. And I told you about Joseph's brothers. I read you a little bit about them just now. These are his brothers. Joseph tells them the dream that he's had, and they hate that dream. And not only do they hate that dream, but they hate all the words that he speaks, and he cannot give them greeting, and they speak peaceful words to him. They cannot speak peacefully unto him. So when he's 17 years old, his father sends him to discover the welfare of his other brethren, his children, who are keeping sheep. Now, you don't know this, but they're keeping sheep at Shechem. What does that mean? I'm telling you all about Joseph. What happened was this. They had a sister named Dinah, who went to see the daughters of the land, and she was ravished. Her honor was taken from her. And then these other sons, Simeon and Levi, hear about it. They go to Shechem, and they take the sword and murder every man that is in that city. And then the other brothers come and plunder the city and take all the men and women captive. And so these were the brothers of Joseph. He said, well, they shouldn't have taken their sister's honor. Indeed, that's true. But they have no right to go and kill everybody that's in the city and take all of the men and women captive and take everything that they own and make it their own. And what happened is that Jacob, when he speaks their blessing at the last of his life, he never forgets what Simeon and Levi did. And I told him the last hour about Reuben, the firstborn, how carnal that man was. And now, again, I've read to you that Joseph, being a lad of 17 years old, is with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, which means this. Bilhah's children were Daniel and Naphtali, and Zilpah's children were Gad and Asher. So there's the three, four sons keeping sheep, and they're doing vile things, evil things. And this young man's soul cannot endure it. You know what happens? He's the youngest of the brothers so far, other than Benjamin. You know what happens usually when you have older brothers, and they're talking of evil things, and lusting, and bringing evil thoughts, and doing evil things? They tell their younger brother. The younger brother wants to join in with them and become a part of it. He can hardly wait until he's mature so he can go and do what his brothers do. But what they are doing and what they are saying, this evil that is committed by them, it penetrates the soul of young Joseph, 17 years old, that time when the lust of the flesh is so prominent, and he cannot endure it. And he goes home and tells his father. And this is commendable for this reason. It is a picture of Christ. You'll find that the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 7, talking to his brother, he said, you go up to the priest. I go not up to the priest. He said, the world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I rebuke them. I tell them about their sins. And when you have a young brother, and his older brothers are committing evil, if there is the power in that brother that there is in Jesus, he will appeal to the brothers. And then if they will not turn, he will go and tell their father. And the father will respect him for it. Sometimes the father, being evil, will say, what are you? What are you coming telling me all these tales about your brothers? Because there are some people that have regard for the moral welfare of their brothers. Cain had no welfare concerning the welfare of his brother. When God said, where is your brother Abel? He said, am I my brother's keeper? I do not know where he is. But thank God, some go and tell their father that they might be kept from their evil ways, delivered from their evil ways. Now, let me bring out here how naive Joseph was. I would think about it and say, what will this do? What will the boys think of me? What will my brothers do? I would think of it, how will it affect my father? But there are some who are so pure in heart that they would not do the things that their brothers are doing. And they say, I must go and tell my father so they will not do these evil things. Do you see how naive it is? I would see through it. I would see that they would hate me, and perhaps they would do me injury. But the only thinks of telling his father about the evil things his brothers are doing. And who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He does not tell men of their sins to humiliate them, but to bring them under conviction that they might turn from their evil ways. And here is Joseph thinking that these evil brothers are going to be turned from their evil ways. But if he thinks they are evil when he's keeping sheep with them, he finds out how evil they are when he comes to give a report to his father. Now, this is why, and this is how you can see so many things under the surface. Why is his father worried about his sons keeping sheep at Shechem? Suppose your sons have killed the former inhabitants of Shechem, and now there are other inhabitants in the city, and they know that all of their relatives have been destroyed by you, and your sons are alone now, and the city is armed and can take vengeance on them. Do you understand why his father was concerned about them? And so Jacob, in his folly, sends his son Joseph to find out about his father, his son's welfare. Bring me a report. And Joseph is quite prepared to go and do his father's bidding. It's like this. Think now. And this is remarkable, the similarity between the two. Here is Jacob. He knew how his sons hated Joseph. He knew the danger of Shechem. And yet, Jacob sent his son Joseph to find out about the welfare of his brethren. Now think. And this is something that is so difficult to understand that you find in the parable that Christ speaks. Here is a father that has a vineyard, and the time for the fruits of that vineyard to be paid to the one who owns it come, and so the Lord of the vineyard sends people to get the fruits. And when they come, some of them are beaten, and he sends others, and they are killed. And this is what the father says. He says, I have yet one, a beloved son. I will send him. That's insanity. If I've sent servants and they've beaten them and others and they've killed them, I'm not going to send my son. And yet, the very thing that Jacob did with his son, and it happened to his son, God, knowing, sent his son, and it happened to him. So Jacob, having no idea that this would happen to his son, God, who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and that's what God did. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Him being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And yet God sent his son. And Joseph goes. And Joseph is going to bring a report concerning the welfare of Jacob's son. Now this is what is of the greatest importance, is that Joseph has had dreams. He dreamt about sheep. So you have grain bound together. And his sheep is with his brother's sheep. And his rises up and the others come and bow down before him. Now you can interpret that, can't you? If you have brothers, a certain number, and you have one sheep, and other sheep of that number come and bow down to one sheep, you think you can interpret that dream that his brothers could? They said, do you think we're going to do obeisance to you? Oh, no. And then, I'm telling you how naive Joseph is, I would assume, if I tell them that, I know what they'll think. But he doesn't think that way. That's how pure in heart and how naive he is. And then he tells about the sun and the moon, his father and mother, and stars, and they come and bow down to him. And his father says, I can't take that. Your brother may bow down to you, but your father and mother will bow down to you as well. And so his brothers have all this information when he comes to them. And they see him at a distance. And they say, come now, we'll slay this dreamer, and we shall see what shall become of his dreams. But thank God, and let me tell you this, Reuben is one of the vilest sons of Jacob. But here, in this instance, he tries to save the life of his young brother Joseph. And that is one redeeming feature. But they have their hearts intent on destroying their brother Joseph. And they say, what shall become of his dreams? Well, in the will of God, you come back next week and you'll see what becomes of Joseph's dreams. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we will thank you for your selection of this man to bring before our eyes. We think of our young people today. Father, they are strangers in comparison to this young man, Joseph. But we pray that there shall be some who are pure in heart, those of integrity, those of truth, those that are loved by their parents and bring no reproach nor dishonor upon the family name. So help these young people and the older ones as well to read this life of Joseph again and again, and may Joseph be their ideal. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.